Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hello, and welcome to another Locked On Timberwolves podcast. My name is Zachary Bennett, host of the program. Be sure to follow Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter at Locked On Podcast. Be sure to follow the Locked On Wolves podcast on Twitter as well, Locked On Wolves. I am here with I don't want to call them unprecedented guests because I know them rather well, but I'm here with a couple of football guys, Luke Inman.
Well, I mean, I'm a football guy, but this guy's an all-around just gem. I wouldn't label
all
him
all-around, slowly
guy.
Trying to get into MMA.
You are, aren't you?
That's a good niche to tap into. His name is Andy Carlson. You can follow him at Andy Carlson Show on Twitter.
Hey.
You can follow Luke on Twitter at Luke_spin_man. How you dudes doing tonight?
Doing good,
We're
man.
Fantastic.
Got a little side bet going on some unders, NBAs. I know that's the only reason I'm really here because I just want to tell you guys about my gambling problem.
Degeneracy.
But we'll get into it here in a little bit. What's going on with the Wolves? I saw they took care of biz last night against the Mavericks. I know Karl Towns took care of biz. 30 plus?
34 points, 11 rebounds. Ricky Rubio added 13 points and a season-high 15 assists. And the Minnesota Timberwolves snapped a four-game losing streak.
Well, that
is something.
101-92 over the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, I did not cover it. Our fearless leader, Tom Schreier, was there to cover it. The night off.
What's the locker room like in the Timberwolves target set?
Real grim.
You know, because I've been in the Vikings locker room, and
it's nice. It's due for renovation.
I'll be honest. Like, I'm not talking about, like, aesthetics. I'm talking about, like, the vibe. Because, like, most of those guys, even after a lot, they seem to be in pretty high spirit. Rhodes is joking around. Even Teddy was in the mix.
You're talking Vikings.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Wolves, I mean, there's only, what, 12, 15 guys? I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's 15 players on the roster. I want to give a little, 14 now that they cut John Lucas III.
Well,
right before they had to pay him some guaranteed money.
They did not.
I want to add some context. Luke Inman and Andy Carlson Show both are part of the Andy Luke and Reef football machine, part of the
Good
Omaha Podcast Network, which I'm sure you, the listeners, are well familiar with right now. And we're here at the Blue Door Pub in Como, near the Dinkytown area in Minneapolis. I was just sitting here chilling as Andy records the
Purple for the Win podcast.
Purple for the Win podcast. We just ordered another round of beverages. So pardon any interruptions from our waitress here. So I figured, you know, they were done recording the Purple for the Win podcast, part of ESPN 1500's podcast network. I'll give you a little plug there.
Hey.
And so we're having a good time. I go, hey, dudes, you want to record some Lockdown Wolves? I'm obligated to do an episode Monday through Friday. Thank you very much. What'd you order?
Same.
Some. Brewed by who?
Lagunitas.
Lagunitas?
Looks like Lagunitas.
What you got? A little something.
But you got to say it cool. It's a little something.
Just a little something. So we're here at the Blue Door Pub. Figured we'd talk chop. I'd answer a couple of these dudes' questions. Luke's studying for
Senior Bowl, going down to Mobile, Alabama, Senior checking out Bowl. The newest Minnesota Vikings to hit the roster here soon. You know, now that I'm here, I'm a sports guy, but I'm not a diehard basketball fanatic. I want to ask you something, Z.
I'm in.
Going into the year, and this may be a general or dumb question, but going into the
no
year.
No such thing.
I had high hopes for the Wolves. That's just a casual.
I pegged him at 46 wins.
Armchair fan. Okay, I don't know if that's good or bad or what.
46. Yeah.
46. How many games are there, 82?
There's 82
so
games.
So you're slightly above 500 you had them.
Yeah.
Going into the year, young core, I like Rubio. I know Towns and Wiggins I expect to take another step. Who's been the biggest disappointment for you so far this year? It could be Tibbs, the coach. It could be Rubio. It could be Wiggins. It could be Dunn, their first round. Who's the biggest disappointment?
I think you're onto something there with Coach Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Not to say it's a
– We call him Tibbs.
You know, it's a sweeping generalization to call him a disappointment, but – for him to, you know, to play the rotations the way he's playing, Tyus Jones seems to play well every time he enters the game.
He hit a three-pointer last night.
He played well. He played very well last night. Brandon Rush goes four
Don't
for
play four. Horse with him.
I would never. I actually coach kids who played against Tyus Jones, which is
who didn't though, you know.
A real
I got your hams, dude.
Dude, you got my hams. So you're drinking a little something.
It's not mine.
Anyway.
How was this, by the way?
It's okay. A little something, something's a little good. No, Tibbs hasn't been disappointing. I'd say, you know, I'm going to duck the question and say overall the team has been disappointing. But for sure. Tom Thibodeau to, you know, okay, Brandon Rush has been my disappointment. Whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's on-court performance at the beginning of the season, his turf toe at the beginning of the season, dude has failed to get on the court in a relevant capacity. And the other night he goes 4-for-4 against Washington. He makes two of his threes. He's a team high in terms of plus minus at positive 8. Despite the loss to Washington, I thought he played very well. Shabazz Muhammad doesn't play because of an illness. Shabazz Muhammad comes back the next day. Brandon Rush doesn't play. So one way or another, Brandon Rush isn't doing enough to stay on the court. Now, my original answer, Tom Thibodeau, he's done things. He's done the whole pitching rotation where he starts Rubio. He brings in Chris Dunn for middle relief, and he closes the game with Tyus Jones, somebody who can spread the floor, shoot threes, knock down threes. Not the greatest defender. Oh, well. It just feels like there are certain things that Tom Thibodeau can do to tinker with the lineup, tinker with his rotation, certain guys he can play, certain guys he can start instead of other guys. Things that he can do to win games, he's not doing them.
12-26. How is he not making adjustments and tinkering now? 12-26. What is he waiting for? I don't get it.
I
think that's what a lot of people are frustrated about. I'm a draft guy. You know that. Starting to go down the Senior Bowl, see who's going to be drafted next for the Minnesota Vikings and go in the first, second, third round. Looking at the draft. Ben Simmons went 1. Brandon Ingram 2 from Duke. Jalen Brown. Dragan Bender. Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield. That was the test, and you passed. Jamal Murray, Marcus Chris, Jacob. Give me a guy, and we're going to get to Dunn, but give me a guy that was probably the best pick in these top 15 and probably the worst pick in these top 15.
I'm going to revamp your question. I'm going to say the guy that they could have selected instead of Chris Dunn was Jamal Murray. And
okay.
I think Jamal Murray would have added an excellent backup point guard to the mix, a guy who has national team experience,
yep,
playing with Team Canada,
yep,
playing in big moments,
yep,
playing at the University of Kentucky a la Carl Anthony Towns, guy who can do things, make outside shots. Chris Dunn has not gotten a lot of opportunities to show what he can do, but
yep,
the guy has not proven he's a good shooter. The guy's not proven he can facilitate an offense at a high level. Jamal Murray can do those things. And I thought Jamal Murray would have been an excellent selection at that juncture of the draft.
And he's been good this year?
He's been playable. He's been getting minutes for Mike Malone in Denver, and Mike Malone's a good guy.
Do you think Chris Dunn will be better as time goes on, or is it just a big question mark?
It's a huge question mark for me. At Providence, 40% of his scoring opportunities and chances in production, scoring production in general, were done in transition.
Okay.
And at the NBA level, that just does not happen
sure,
like it does at the college level. The guy shot less than 25% from the field during the preseason,
which is crazy.
Defensively,
top 5 pick.
Defensively, he is physically capable of taking on ones, twos, and threes.
This is Chris Dunn?
Up and down the order.
Correct. And we need that, don't we? I mean, we don't have great defense right now. Isn't that one of the kind of sloppy technique, young guys, lazy, things like that? Is that one of our many?
The Wolves are definitely
one of. So Chris Dunn maybe show you that?
If not the poorest team defensively
horrible
in the league. And I'm not going to sit here and blame Chris Dunn for it.
Sure.
I will sit here and blame Carl Anthony Towns for a lot of their struggles.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Coming with the hot takes as I sip down my second hams of the
hot
night.
Hot takey.
But, no, Chris Dunn definitely adds a defensive presence in that respect. But I just think the second unit lacks continuity. It lacks shooting. It lacks a guy who is able to come in there and facilitate and get certain guys shots, Nemanja Bjelica being one of them.
Sure.
But when Thibodeau doesn't play Tyus Jones, it's hard for me to blame Chris Dunn entirely for that because Tyus Dunn is certainly capable of all those things.
Right.
So
right.
It's a tough puzzle to put together based on what we've seen thus far. But when you're looking at the Wolves starting five, they've played more as a five-man unit than any other five-man unit in the league by far.
So you're saying they're not getting a lot of minutes or points
The bench is not getting enough minutes. They're not getting a lot of opportunities, and the starters are, at last check, 150 minutes more than any other five-man combination in the NBA.
Even more than the Clippers?
And it just goes to show you that all of those things regarding Tom Thibodeau's reputation about overplaying the starters have come to fruition since he's been here. And, yes, more than the Clippers, if only because Chris Paul and they've suffered some injuries. So
gotcha.
There's certainly that asterisk.
I told you I'm a draft guy. I am already looking at the 2017 NBA
point
mock draft.
Heavy. Point guard heavy.
And number one pick to Boston, Markelle Fultz from Washington, a freshman point guard. At number two, a point guard. Lonzo Ball from UCLA, another point guard three to Miami. Dennis Smith from North Carolina State, another point guard four to Phoenix. Frank Ntilikina.
Before you finish, I have vowed on this program multiple times because I picked the Wolves 46 wins.
Yeah.
Which isn't egregious.
Yeah.
Tim Bontemps, Washington Post NBA writer, pegged him at 50.
Washington Post.
50 wins for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay.
I'm not doing draft coverage. I'm not doing it.
Okay,
you,
but I just
you just now listing those four prospects have done more draft research than I have all season.
So this will be a big shock for you. They have the Wolves picking at six, so that tells you they're going to be in the bottom six, not 46 wins, not 50. Jason Tatum, a freshman from Duke, a small forward, 6'8".
Never
missed
heard
the first
him.
Eight games.
Never heard of him.
Run, jump, athleticism, speed is solid, not spectacular. Being a top 3-5 pick, blah, 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 blah. All right. Let's move on.
Never heard of him.
Give me
We're just going to forego all of that.
Yeah, forget about it. Give me – you're clearly telling me that is too early. Give me your NBA championship final two teams.
I want to
know who's going to win. I just want to know who's going to play who.
Golden State and Cleveland.
Again, that's why I don't like the NBA. There's just not a lot of.
Well, listen to this guy. Andy,
there's just
help
not a lot
me.
Of. Well, I mean, every it could be the Chiefs this year, Andy. It could be the Cowboys.
It's not going to be the Chiefs.
They got the two seed. They're going to beat the Steelers.
You can't sit here and
tell
me.
Probably won't be the Chiefs.
Could be.
You can't sit here and tell me Alex Smith is going to
side
sit
bets.
Here.
Hey, Andy Reid is 20-2 coming off of a bye,
which is pretty insane.
That's insane. When you give Andy Reid 2 weeks,
what's Alex Smith's record in playoff games?
38-0.
Alex Smith actually made a Super Bowl with the 49ers. He
as a backup.
Yeah, except I'm trying to think of when Kaepernick was put in, because I know that Alex Smith has
they
won
were
playoff games before.
Yeah, they were flip-flopping.
I remember him beating
New
Orleans.
Sure, and Gus Frat led the Vikings to a very good season.
He hit Bernard Berry on a 99-yard touchdown pass on
Monday
Night
NFL record.
Bears. Hey, okay, so you want the Cavs, Golden State.
Cavs,
all right.
Golden State, sure.
Well, I'm asking this. So the Wolves –
no Spurs.
Might
no
sneak
Rockets,
into the playoffs as the eighth seed. Like, what are the odds Raptors. That they actually do some damage?
As the eighth seed?
Are they even going to sneak in as the eighth seed? Let's be realistic.
If you look up the gap between the current eighth ranked team and the Timberwolves, granted the Wolves are
they're only four games back.
Of the eighth seed.
They're only two games back of the eighth seed, excuse me.
Yeah.
Portland Trailblazers. Thunder. Then there's a big gap, though. From the eighth seed and on, there's a
yeah,
huge
no. So it's
gap.
A fight.
There's
it's
a seven game.
It's a
gap
fight for the eighth seed
for the Thunder and Jazz.
And it isn't so much. I mean, the problem with this team is that basically under Flip Saunders and Sam Mitchell, with all due respect to their knowledge, and you know, I attended camps as a child, Flip Saunders basketball camps as a child. With all due respect to their basketball knowledge and credibility, maybe more so for Flip than Sam Mitchell, those guys basically said, all right, we've got three dudes under 21. We're just going to roll the balls out, and we're just going to let them play. And they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to learn how to play. Under Thibodeau, they cannot play consistently for 48 minutes. They can't do it. They don't value possessions. They don't value each and every single possession as they should, as winning teams do. What's a good way to do that, Luke Spinman? Spin, man.
Do you want to tell him?
Make it to the damn playoffs, because in the playoffs, no possessions matter more. We have yet.
Do they have that money ball in the playoffs, or like the money ball's worth more points?
The triple colored ball.
Yeah.
No, and they have yet to.
I just want to shoot that.
They have yet to implement the 4-point shot too. By the
really?
Way.
Really?
No, but I mean, just because we've entered this realm of discussion, Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
A net
is he white?
A net. He's Spanish.
Okay.
So if
Spanish.
If you want to call it that, yes.
Yeah, what movie is that? Will Ferrell, semi-pro.
Old school.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was thinking semi-pro, the basketball, but you're right, Spanish.
How do
old
I know
school.
These two? I produce a show for them on Wednesdays. It's called The Andy Luke and a Reef. Well, football
What's the
machine.
Guy who can't speak English on semi-pro, Will Ferrell movie?
You can find it. It's part of the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. Anyway, what better way to find out how big of a detriment to the Timberwolves Ricky Rubio's shooting is than making it in the eighth seed of a playoff? And everybody likes to harken back to last March when the Wolves beat Golden State on their home floor. Maybe it was April. I don't know. What have you. Shabazz Muhammad scores over 30 points. You know, the Wolves beat the Golden State Warriors in a season in which the Warriors set the all-time wins record for an NBA team.
Except they blew a what?
A 3-1 lead.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the Cleveland Indians. So they're about square.
Well, except I feel like the Cubs blew a 3-1 lead because they were the better team anyways.
Okay.
Like, they allowed a 3-1 lead.
What the front door ever. We can swear on this pod, so I don't know why I'm editing myself.
All right.
Anyway, what better way to put butts in the seats, to generate excitement about the team, than to have them go up against the league's best, the guy the Wolves didn't draft, and Twice. Stephen Curry. Shut the fuck up now. But no, I think it would be good for them to get the eighth seed. We'd find a lot about how teams want to play Ricky Rubio, how good Ricky Rubio actually is in a playoff setting, and it would definitely tell all of the young guys, the 21-year-old stars, Zach LaVine, Karl Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins, how to value possessions. And at the end of the day, this season is about determining whether those three can play together. And there's nothing more important than that.
I think that it's not completely unrealistic to steal that eighth seed some way,
not
somehow.
Not entirely, no. The problem is they don't win against their own division. They're 0-6 against their own division.
I'm just, again.
We got Bargo
outdoor,
here.
Outdoor fan. I mean, I don't really know
surface
a lot about
fan.
It, but I'm just saying.
Are you a bigger
fan
of the Twins or the Timberwolves? Be honest.
Wolves, for sure.
Good.
For
good
sure.
Answer.
I don't know. I mean, anyways, I just see them getting in the eighth seed, and the fact that I know, not that I know from watching tape or anything, but I know they're horrible at defense.
They're horrible. They're god
They
awful.
Wouldn't even have a – it's not even chip-chair chance.
They've been the worst
they
team.
They would be so bad. They would get so – it's not like Latrell Sprewell, Sam Cassell, Kevin Garnett, eighth seed. Mm. It's – they wouldn't even
Those
have
guys,
a chance
because
of that.
The difference,
of just how bad they are.
The difference, I think, is, you know, their half-court defense isn't entirely abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of points per possession given up, they're about 19th, 20th, you know.
Right.
Lower, definitely.
But they look good doing it.
Lower of the middle of the pack. The problem has been they're one of the worst transition defensive teams in the league. 29th.
Who's that on? Rubio?
Could be on Rubio. Ricky Rubio.
Wiggins? What's up with Wiggins?
No, Ricky Rubio all year, there's a stat. It's called turnover percentage. How many of your possessions turn into turnovers? The percentage of your possessions that turn into turnovers. Ricky Rubio, among guards in the NBA, has led the league in turnover percentage in transition situations. So after a defensive rebound.
That seems less than ideal.
All right.
It's not great, Bob.
Let's play everybody's favorite game.
You're not even going to let me finish my point.
Oh, you're still going?
No, I'm done now. Go ahead.
Fuck one, marry one, kill one. Wiggins, Towns, LaVine.
I marry LaVine. No, let me take it back. I marry Karl Anthony Towns.
I hope so.
Duh. It's a no-brainer.
I fuck Zach LaVine.
Who wouldn't?
I kill Andrew
In Uptown?
How, you don't even know. You've got no insight.
Sneaky beats. He'll give you a couple sneaky beats.
It's not even Uptown, bro.
He'll give you a couple sneaky beats.
Now you're just... Andy, do you have any questions or comments to add? I can't talk to this asshole all night.
Best episode ever, baby.
The reports of Shabazz being on the market.
Shabazz.
What's
the listeners will correct you.
Yeah.
I've learned.
Shabazz in my book.
Shabazz. There's merit. I mean, the thing is, he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year, so...
Yeah.
ever tell you I partied with Pekovic and
actually,
Kevin Love?
After I'm done with this, you're going to tell that story.
It's the best story ever.
Then we're going to wrap it up.
All right.
On a substantial.
You paid me for 15 minutes. I hope you know I'm going on overtime.
Time and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
I want that time and a half.
No, the Wolves play the Houston Rockets.
You got a 401k here?
The Wolves play the Houston Rockets tomorrow, and they have a chance to redeem themselves from what was quite possibly the most epic home collapse of the season.
That was against the Rockets?
Against the Rockets,
they've had some pretty epic collapses.
Well, this would top the charts, in my opinion. All right. Anyway, how did I get here?
Collapse.
What was I going to do before Rockets? I let you tell this story? Do you have any idea?
Nope. May as well just go story. maybe we'll remember during the story.
Yeah, maybe. Let's go.
I already told the story on the AL.
On the ALFM.
No. You told it at the after party.
What?
Yeah, no,
never
you
said
did.
This on
you
air?
Did here at the Blue Door Pub. You told.
I've
you
never said this on air.
No, nope. You haven't. You're about to though.
Wow.
Luke _ spin.
I
on
tell
Twitter,
most people
check
to wait
out.
For the book to come out, but I will release this on Cold Omaha on coldomaha.com. Here's the thing. When I worked at Best Buy, I had a cool-ass manager, a few years older than me, went to Eden Prairie. He was just one of those guys that was, like, always knew, like, the cool spots or the cool people to hang out with. And he actually,
you're how old at the time?
I was 23.
All right, good.
And maybe 24.
That's
and
good context.
He was one of those guys that was like, hey, I hung out with my buddy Nick Swartzen this week. And I was like, what? Yeah, he's like, he was back from shooting this movie with Adam Sandler from California, and he hit me up. And I was like, dude, next time you hang out with somebody like this, you hit me up. I'm sick of it. Don't come to me on Monday morning and tell me about these cool stories. You hit me up. 3-4 weeks later, he hits me up. He's like, hey, man, we're going out to Barrio, this tequila bar downtown. I'd never been there. It's at a turning point in the night. It's a Saturday night where I could either throw on the sweatpants and watch Lost on Netflix, or I can throw on my fresh gear, spray in a couple Michael Jordan sprays of cologne, and hit the streets.
It's still MJ back there.
Thanks, Grandma. And I say, after about 7 minutes of mulling, I go, screw it, let's do it.
Like a cigarette's worth.
Screw it, let's do it. I asked Pete to hit me up. He finally did. I need to take advantage of this. I need to go. So I go down to Barrio with my woman. We get to Barrio. It's a light setting. It's kind of dark in there. It's not overly big. It's not overly crowded, but there's definitely some people in there. And, again, kind of a darker setting. I see Pete, his name's Pete, at the long table,
Pete.
Right? He's at one end of the table where there's about 8-9 people. I go to the other end of the table where there's 2 seats open. Me and my lady sit down. I give Pete the kind of head nod. I didn't want to bother him.
Send me those other
okay.
ones.
Okay, and I sit down at the other end, and I'm sitting there, and there's a guy in a cowboy hat and cowboy boots right in front of me with a plaid shirt, a little bit bigger guy. And I start talking to him like, hey, how you doing, man, blah, blah, blah. How do you know Pete, whatever. And I introduced myself finally. I go, my name's Luke. This is my girlfriend at the time, Callie. And he goes, how you doing? I'm John Sullivan. And I did a triple take. And I was like, John Sullivan, you mean like the center for the Vikings? So he sits there. We shoot the shit. I try not to go fanboy in the bit. We act cool. We get a drink. Sully's by himself. I finally, after about 12 minutes, I look down at the end of this long table. It's like those medieval tables that were like super long. One
Stannis
end.
Stannis Baratheon. Looks down.
I don't know what that means, but I trust you. So I look down there, and I see Pete, and I squint, and I go, oh, my God. I turn back to Kelly, and I go, that's Kevin Love at our table.
Caleb.
And I try
where?
Not to go
you're
fan.
Where?
Barrio.
Barrio. Got
tequila
it.
Bar. I try not to go fan, but I look at Kelly, I go, don't look now. Kevin Love's at our table. Pete grabs me about 10 minutes later. He goes, hey, Luke. Again, this is my normal manager at Best Buy. Nobody knows anything about his outside work life. But here we go. He goes, Luke, go grab the limo driver that's sitting by the door. Tell him to
Kevin
pull
Love
the limo.
Kevin Love tells you this.
No, Pete does. He
oh,
goes,
boy.
Go
boy
tell.
Pete from Best Buy.
Who I didn't know was that cool.
Right.
Okay. He's just a normal guy.
Just hanging with Nick
okay.
Swartzen and Kevin Love
and
on the
he
weekend.
Goes, go tell the limo driver to pull the limo up. And I go, okay. Don't know if, like, I'm just the bitch in this scenario or if I'm actually getting invited in the limo. So I tell the guy, he pulls the limo up. We all get in one at a time. We're the first ones in, Callie and I. Then Pete. What's up, Pete? How you doing?
Callie is now your wife.
Correct. I mean, you have an experience.
Fantastic
you share
wedding.
An experience.
Fantastic
thank you.
Wedding,
you share
way.
An experience like Bert this.
We're not sisters.
Basically. You share an experience like this with somebody, you marry him. Okay. We get in. Kevin Love gets in. John Sullivan gets in. I'm going, this is fucking nuts. We go to Sneaky Pete's. trying to wrap this up as fast as I can. We go Sneaky Pete's.
No, keep it.
I didn't even have my ID on me. I go, this sucks. I'm not even going to be able to get in, and I'm with Kevin Love. This sucks. I didn't bring my ID. I'm so stupid. Well, we get out of the limo. It pulls up right next to the door. We walk in. There's 15 of us. You think we got carded? You think my ID was checked? No. I'm with Kevin Love. We walk straight
in. Excuse me, Mr. Love. You need a bracelet.
Yeah.
You need
no, you're good. Okay, the bouncers let us in. It was the coolest experience ever.
No. We're you're skipping there. A part. What? Let's hear about the limo ride.
I don't know. We hung out in the limo.
Oh,
much.
Come on. You know, what? There's more. I thought there's more. You told us more.
No, not really.
Oh, okay. Just weak sauce, bro.
Already, he blew John Sullivan.
Yeah, twice, naked. Okay, but that wasn't. He sucked my dick. I'm not gay. Okay. So we get into Sneaky Pete's, right?
Boom doesn't have an adult check.
That's
but,
fine.
Okay,
there's
whatever.
Like three or four dudes about my age that come up. We're all standing in a posse. They come up to Kevin Love. They go, "You're the total fanboy in the bit," like I would do if I saw him. "You're the reason we watch basketball. My God, blah, blah. Take this. We bought you a bottle of Bud, blah, blah, blah."
Budweiser.
He grabs it to be nice. They walk away. I turn to Kevin Love. This is the first words I've spoken to Kevin Love throughout the night. I go, "Those guys would suck your dick." And he looks at me and he just starts. He goes, "Dude, they would, too. They would." He goes, "Do you want this?" And he gives me the bottle of Bud. I go, in my head, I go, "Kevin Love's handing you a bottle of beer. You take the bottle of beer."
You have to.
So I grab it. I'm drinking, thinking, oh, my God, this beer is from Kevin Love. This is unbelievable. So we hang out with Sneaky Pete's literally for 20 minutes. We bail out. We go to the W. I've never been to the W. I've heard of the W. I go walk in. Same thing. Posse with Kevin Love. We go to the VIP section. Who's there?
Nikola
Pekovic. The biggest, baddest Russian. He's trash. I can tell.
He's Montenegrin.
Because his eyes are bigger than the moon. And it was a full moon that night,
Montenegrin,
too.
Montenegrin.
And he looks at me. He doesn't even know me. He looks at me. He stretches his arms. He goes, "Hey!" And I look at him, and I'm trash at this point, too. I go, "Hey!" And then we give each other a bear hug. He goes, "What's your name?" I go, "Luke." He goes, "Tonight, you're Luke Ridenhauer." And for the rest of the night, me and Callie hung on the VIP section while K-Love was dancing on the floor, and we just sat there and we soaked everything up. And it was the craziest experience ever. I think we just got a cab home or something. But we woke up in the morning and we go, "Did we party with Kevin Love last night?" It was the crazy experience. I never hung out with my manager, Pete Holmes, after that again. He transferred to corporate or he ended up getting a different job. I still talk to him to this day. I know he's still doing cool and big things out in California, but that was my one and only experience with Pete, my manager, who, again, just does the coolest, baddest-ass things ever. I thought he was joking until I actually went out with him. And a reminder, there was a tea in the night. Do you remember? I could have put my sweatpants on, watched some 30 Rock and Lost, and watched Netflix, or went out. I'm glad I made the best decision of my life. Party with Kevin Love and John Solomon. Coolest thing ever.
His name is Luke Inman. You can follow him in, follow him on Twitter.
Buy the book.
Luke.
A lot more in there.
_ spin man. Andy Carlson. Luke Inman. Really appreciate you coming on the Locked On Wolves podcast. We're here recording at the Blue Door Pub. I think that's it. That's all we're going to add. I'll come at you after tomorrow's shoot around. The Wolves play the Houston Rockets tomorrow. They'll try to redeem their loss.
And on you.
Where do I get paid?
Yeah, well, after we win this
let's
card,
go, baby.
This three.
Hey, tell them about our unders real quick.
I already did.
Okay, sorry.
For Luke, for Andy, my name is Zachary Bennett. This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast, a different edition of the podcast, but we certainly hope you enjoy it. I'll talk to you tomorrow. So long.